Thank you for joining me. It's such a privilege for me to share the message of God's unconditional love, mercy, and grace with you. Whenever I share this message of God's unconditional love, man, I just feel dignity and worth coming into my life. Because that is the fruit of the Word of God. If we are talking about bearing fruit, we should know that we cannot bear fruit, but that we are just simple recipients of seed, and that the seed produces fruit in our lives. So if we hear the Word of God, if we hear the message of His unconditional love, mercy, and grace, the word of acceptance, what it does is it brings forth the characteristics of Jesus Christ Himself, the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, the very core of God. It brings it forth in our physical human lives. Isn't that wonderful? That God didn't just do a spiritual thing to just forgive us in the spirit, but that the message of forgiveness, the message of grace is so powerful that it can produce the very characteristics of God in our lives. Now, if you try to bear the fruit of God, you're not going to live. It's going to produce death in you. I've got good news for you. You cannot bear the fruit of God in your life if you try to. It's not by trying. It's not by the will of the flesh. It's not by the will of man. By the will of man, you can never bear the fruit of God. The fruit of God and the fruit of the Spirit is only seen in your life by the Word of God carrying that fruit and producing that fruit in you. All that you can do is open your heart for the message of God's unconditional love, mercy, and grace. For what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, in His obedience, in His death, and in His resurrection, and where He is seated now, and who He represents, seated at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that, if you believe you are in Him, if you are starting to live through Him, you will start to see the fruit of God. You know, I don't want human righteousness. I don't want human patience. You know, there is something like human patience. There is something like human sacrifice. There is something like willpower of man. Now, I'm not interested in living by decisions of the will all the time. No, I am interested in God working in my will because of His unconditional love to work and to do according to His good plan and purpose, and that God lives through me. Amen. That is good news. Let's just open the Bible quickly in Colossians chapter 1. And we're just going to pick it up there where we left off in the previous broadcast. And this is just going to bless you because this is exactly what I've said. Know this. And I just want to press on this. You cannot bear fruit. The fruit in your life is a result of the seed that is in your life. There's only two types of seed. You must remember that as well. The Bible said in the book of Genesis, He said to the devil, I'll bring enmity between your seed and her seed. Now when the Bible speaks of seed, He speaks about the Word of God. Go and read Matthew 13. He says, the sower went to sow some seed, and some fell on the road, some fell on the stony ground, some fell among the weeds, others on good ground. And then when the explanation of the parable comes in Matthew 13 verses 18, 19 and onwards to the end of the chapter, what you'll see is He will say there that the sower is the Son of Man preaching the Word. The sower is sowing the Word in the hearts of people. So when you hear the Word produces fruit. Now the devil's Word doesn't produce fruit, good fruit. The devil's Word produces death. Now the Bible says, and man, this can be a shocker unto you, that the ministration of death was written and engraved on stones. The thought pattern or the word or the logos that says, by what you do, you become, is what I call the seed of the enemy. Because it produces death in you, it produces all types of sin in you, and doesn't have good fruit in you. We're going to read that right now in Romans chapter 7, but let's just read this quickly from verse 4. It says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So what he says here, he said that we heard of your faith, we heard of your love that you have for the saints, And we heard that you believe that there's a hope for you in heaven, and you heard of this hope through the word of the gospel of the truth. Then it says in verse 6, which is come unto you. So this word of the gospel of the truth has come unto them as it is in all the world and is bringing forth fruit. So what is he saying there? He's saying that the word is bringing forth fruit. As it does also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So since the day you heard the word of God, or the which is the grace of God in truth, since the day you heard of it, that word is producing fruit in your life. That's why I'm so fanatical about what you hear. I cannot just allow my heart to hear any word. I cannot allow my heart to hear the do's and don'ts, moots and moonies type of a word that it comes in the name of Jesus. Because that will not produce life in me. It looks good, but it is not good. Let's just touch on that scripture again in Colossians chapter 2 and from verses 20. It says, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments. Now, the word rudiments there means basic principles. And so many times these days we want to live by principles. We cannot live by principles. Jesus Christ came to this earth and he lived by principles on our behalf. And the only principle that is left unto us is faith. If we believe then, the only if then that there is if we believe then. And the most wonderful thing about that if is also supplied in Jesus Christ. Because when we hear the word, it will produce faith in our hearts. And when we receive that faith, we've already got the faith. We don't even have to produce faith by ourselves. That's another thing. You cannot believe by yourself. You hear the word, faith comes into your heart, and then there's one thing in your life where you just say, well, I'm willing to go with what I believe because of this word. When the word comes to you, you must mix that word with the faith that you receive. All of us has got faith because God gives unto us the measure of faith. But by your own power, you could not have enough faith. If it was so, why would you need Jesus? Because the Bible says, if you go and read in Galatians chapter 4, it's by the faith of Him that we enter in. By the faith of Him that we are saved. Now, I don't say that you can't do anything. All that you can do is you can do all things, but through Christ. So I don't say we must just be this passive people that say, well, God is just going to do everything. I tell you, when you understand the message of God's unconditional love, mercy and grace, it will produce a power in you that you will start to act like Jesus. You'll be so busy trying to just see people getting saved. You'll be so busy winning the lost. You'll be so busy involved in ministry. You'll be so busy where you work, your business. Everything will become God-orientated because of the nature of God that starts to live through you. You'll start to think like God about finances. You'll start to think like God about the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you deal with your problems. Because His Word is producing that fruit in your life. Now, what I say is, we need to realize that there's not just a good word. There's a bad word as well. And that word bears fruit, some unto righteousness and some unto death. But I tell you, that word, the difference between the two seed, it looks exactly, if you look at it from the outside, it looks the same. You know, if you take two types of watermelon seed, the one is a round one and the other one is a oval one. If you put the two seeds next to each other, I tell you, you will not tell the difference. It's exactly the same. Once it produces its fruit, it looks completely different. The one can be a dark green, almost black, oval watermelon. The other one can be a small, white, round one. But the seed looks exactly the same. That's why we need to know that the difference between the message of do's and don'ts and righteousness by faith From the outside, it looks the same, but the fruit is completely different. But I believe that if we've got the Holy Spirit and we know what God says, we'll become skilled in the word of righteousness. And we will know right from wrong because of the nature of God that indwells us. And that's how we will know what we are supposed to believe. Now, I want you to know that I'm not trying to split hairs about this. I just believe this is the way that God has placed in His word for us to bear fruit. Colossians chapter 2, listen to this. It says, and verse 20, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments or the basic principles or the laws of this world, why, as though living in the world or under the laws of this world, are you subject to ordinances like touch not, taste not, handle not, which are for the perish, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of man? Verse 23. Now this is what I want to say. It looks good. It says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in world worship and humility and neglect of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now what it says is, it's got no power against the flesh. When we go and we want to direct our lives and get our lives right and looking good by just deciding, well, I've repented of my sins, that means I'm not doing those things anymore. I'm going to do the right thing now. And by doing the right thing, I'm going to be pleasing to God, because if I don't do the right thing, you know, I don't know if I'm going to enter into heaven. Now let me tell you, that is not the way in which you are supposed to serve God. This is what the Bible says. Why are you under rules and regulations again? God didn't place Adam under rules and regulations. He gave him His Spirit. And the Spirit of God gave him the wisdom he had. The Spirit of God gave him the power he had. The Spirit of God gave him the ability to name all the animals and to know exactly what the name of every animal was. Like I said before, God knew all the names, but how did Adam know them? Because of the nature of God that was within him. Without God telling him, because of God's nature in him, he knew all the names. Isn't that wonderful? And that's how God wants you to live. He wanted to redo the thing that was happening in the garden, that He placed in the garden through in Adam and Eve. He wanted to redo that in your life. That you will know good and evil just by the nature that's in you. Not by a rule book. It's like what I tell people, why do you want to know if something's right or wrong? If you want to know why something's right or wrong, I believe so many times it's just because we are still under the rules and regulations thing. Just say, man, thank you for the Spirit and the nature of God in me. Hallelujah. So what we see in Colossians clearly is that we cannot live by touch not, do not, and all that. There's a higher way of living. The higher way of living is the Word of God producing fruit in our lives. Let's just look quickly in Romans chapter 7, and we see what the different... What the fruit is of being under rules and regulations. Now, I just want you to know, I don't say that there should not be structures in this world. In this world, man, if there's no speed limit, people will just drive the way they are. And you know why? Because they don't walk by the Spirit. You know why there's supposed to be a rule that you're not allowed to murder? Because there are people that don't have the Spirit. If you have the Spirit, you will not murder anybody. If you have the Spirit and you walk by the Spirit, you will find long-suffering, kindness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, and all those things in your life. Hallelujah. So don't try to bear the fruit. Open yourself for the Word of God. Romans chapter 7. Let's read from verse 9. It says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. You hear what he says here? The commandment looked unto him as if it was unto life, but it wasn't unto life. The rules, regulations, law thing that Paul tried to obey, if you read Romans 7 carefully, this happened after he got saved. He fell back under the law because he said, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment or when the law, and I want to define the law is the principle that says, by what I do, I become. That my deeds opens blessings for me, that my deeds opens righteousness for me, and the favor of the Lord. Now, your deeds never does that, because that's what Paul says. Listen to what he said here, and we can read it. Man, it's so powerful. He says, "For I was alive without the law once." I mean, Paul was born under the law. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So why does he say I was alive without the law? The only time he was without the law was after he got saved. Amen. And then he said, "But when the commandment or the law came, what fruit did it bring into my life? When rules and regulations, when I become by what I do, came, what happened?" He said, "Sin revived. And I died." Oh man, can you believe it? And listen to verse 10. And this is, I think, the place where a lot of people misunderstand the thing and where we get tripped. It says, "And the commandment which was ordained to life." It looked to him as if this commandment was unto life. I'm going to do all these things and live. I'm going to live right. I'm going to walk right. I'm going to do right. I'm going to make decisions to forgive and live right and be under all these rules and regulations. You know what it says here? That commandment which is ordained unto life. I mean, it speaks about life. It speaks about good things. He says, "I found to be unto death." That's what it says. "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment or by the law, deceived me, and by it slew me." So it looks very good. It looks as if it's going to work. Touch not, do not, don't do this. You must go to church every Sunday and then you'll be blessed. You must not neglect the gathering of the brethren, then you'll be blessed. If you tithe, then God will bless you, and all those things. It's all commandments, all laws. It looks very good. It looks as if you are neglecting the flesh and allowing the spirit. That's how it looks. But it deceives people. It doesn't bring forth life. It brings forth death. This is what it says. Remember, you are a recipient of seed. And the seed you receive is what will produce in your life. Please know that the seed that doesn't produce life, it's written down here. It says the commandment. Now the law is holy, but if we stand under a commandment and we try to obey that commandment in order to enter into blessing, or we say that everything has been freely given unto us, but if we don't obey the commandment, we're going to lose the blessing. My friend, you are under the law because you are keeping what Christ has given unto you by works, and you're not keeping it by faith. If you've received it by faith, you keep it by faith. Hallelujah. Why am I blessed? It's because Jesus died for me. Why do I stay blessed? Because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father forevermore in holiness. That's why I stay blessed. If you do something wrong, how are you going to have faith? In the moment you're going through a hard time and you've got a do's and don'ts mentality and that word in you, you'll start to scrutinize yourself, man. You'll cut yourself to pieces. You'll do introspection. You'll do all those type of things. And you'll be so involved with what's wrong in your life and trying to put it right that you'll never get to hear the word of God. And that thing will just produce more fruit and more seed will be scattered in your life and more fruit. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart above all things and only allow the good news, the finished work of Jesus Christ message in your life. Now I tell you, one might think, but Bertie, it's so easy. But if you give your life to that message, my friend, it will produce fruit. I promise you. Hallelujah. Let's just quickly go to John chapter 15, and we're just going to look at it in another scripture quickly. John chapter 15 and verse 1. It says here, "I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit is taken away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges that it might bring forth more fruit." So as you bring forth fruit, don't think that the moment I gave my life to Jesus, I believe on Him, I receive righteousness, my life changed, I'm starting to bear fruit, that you're going to keep that fruit by do's and don'ts. You're not going to keep the fruit like that. It says once you start to bear fruit, you're going to hear more of the Word. Remember what I said in the previous broadcast, the Word is not the Bible Scriptures. The word is the message that the scriptures are trying to convey unto you about who you are in Jesus and who Jesus is in you. Hallelujah. So once you start to bear fruit, hallelujah, more good news is coming from God. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Now what does it mean to abide in Christ? So many times we think abiding in Christ is doing everything right. That's not abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ has got right works as a result of abiding in Him. But abiding in Him means to keep on believing and keep on keeping on believing that He has justified me. By His obedience I'm blessed. By His obedience I've been made righteous. By His stripes I've been healed. By His poverty I've been made wealthy. Hallelujah. That's abiding in Him. But when we say, well, I've received salvation by Jesus, but by what I do, I'm going to be more blessed and I'm going to pull down the blessings from heaven. Oh, just pour on me, fall on me from heaven, all those type of things. You know what's going to happen? You're going to find frustration in your life and you're going to find sin in your life. Because it looks right, but my friend, it produces death. Remember, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden wasn't an ugly thing. The fruit looked good. The end result, remember, the fruit is the end result. He says, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The end result looks good. It looks as if you're going to have this holy life. It looks as if you're going to get rid of all your marriage problems by just doing the right thing and being under another do and don't principle. But I've got news for you. The seed in that fruit, the message, man, the message that says, I mean, the promise looks wonderful. You're going to just restore your marriage by doing everything right. But the message that says, do everything right so that you can be blessed is the seed that's contained in that beautiful promise. And that seed will produce death in you and not life. Because of the weakness of your flesh. Because of your inability to do everything right. Oh, hallelujah. Man, that is such good news. You must just write down the scripture and think over this thing. Day and night, day and night. It will start to make sense to you. Ask God. Say, God, I hear Bertie saying things. I don't understand all this, but I want to. I want to hear your good news and I want to live a life out. I want the word to live through me, like Paul said. Hallelujah. Let's read on. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him. You hear the whole in him message. Who are you in him? And who is he in you? He says, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me can you do nothing. Remember what I said? You cannot bear fruit without the message of what Jesus freely has given. Who Jesus is in heaven today. Who He is in you today. You cannot bear fruit. Impossible. I mean, that was just sealed by the words of Jesus. Thank God it's even written in red in my King James Bible. Thank you, Jesus. And that is for you. Know that. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Listen to what it says. If you are not in the message of who you are in Christ, who He is in you, what He did on your behalf, you'll be cast forth as a branch and you will be withered. You'll find no life in you. Death will be produced in you. It's not God casting you forth. You cast forth yourself. You're killing yourself because the ministration of death is in you. It says, and it is and it's withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burnt. I mean, people will not approve of the things you do. You'll start to live such a depressed life. You will do the right thing. It will look all well, but inside you, you will know, I must still change here. I must still change there. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not thinking of where I must change. I'm thinking of how Jesus Christ has changed everything. And the more I think of that, the more life I receive. I think it's time that we pray and that you just experience the touch of God. Now, there are some other scriptures we can also touch on, and I think we're going to touch on that in the next session, Galatians, and we're going to look at what the Bible says about the fruit of the flesh, trying to be justified by the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. But now's the time to pray. If you've got sickness in your body, I've got good news for you. I've got great news for you. God can do all things. He can heal all types of sicknesses. If you look at the introduction of this program, you'll see a little boy standing with his hands up in there. That boy was born crippled. He had a shivered up hand and left leg. And that boy was healed. Hallelujah. That's just one of the miracles. And I just felt I want to say that so that you can know God can do all things through this good news. I preached this very message and I shared it with the people. And I said, let the sick come forward, because through one man sickness came into the world and through one health. And that is your time to be healed. And he was healed. And so many others. And it's your time right now. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that I can pray for sick people right now in Jesus' mighty name. I stretch forth my hand and I say, be healed in Jesus' name. I speak the power of God, the glory of God over you. I say, you have been healed by Jesus. I rebuke all pain. I rebuke all cancer. I rebuke all HIV, AIDS, and all death. I say, you are cursed. You are under the curse, and Jesus Christ became a curse, carried you, and brought all health unto people right now. Just receive your healing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you for listening, and I just want to encourage you to keep on writing. Just share with us. It's such a blessing to hear what God is doing in your life. God bless you, and God loves you.